It's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. We are smack dab in the middle of October now. October 15th, halfway through the month. Boy, that seems hard to believe, doesn't it? Halfway through October already. It's going to be Halloween in a couple of weeks. And then after that, it's just one quick, you know, we got Election Day, we got Veterans Day, we got Thanksgiving, and we're into the holiday season. Well, it's a beautiful fall day, though. It's an Ask the Veterinarian Day today. Dr. Dennis Damon, local veterinarian, is with us from Suburban Animal Clinic. Dr. Damon, it's always good to see you.
Yes, it's glad to be here today, especially inside. A cool bit nippy outside.
Yeah. Dr. Damon, when he came in today, said, yeah, even here at 12:30, well, just past 12:30 in the afternoon, it's a little nippy. We had frost around the area this morning, and we had it a couple of days ago, too, so this is the second day of the frost. Not a real deep freeze, but enough to do a little scraping on the windshield
this
morning.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. You need to get your plants in. Definitely, I put my North Fork pine in, stuttering there, but that's how chilly I am right now yet.
Norfolk pine, those are the ones with the real soft needles on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I had a couple of those that I was using for Christmas trees several years ago. But I actually had one of them. I decorated it, you know. I had it in a pot.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty big. It was probably about 4 feet tall. But all of the needles fell off after New Year's. And I got another one the next year, and the same thing happened. And then I went online too late and read about it. Very difficult to keep those indoors during the winter, depending on what kind of heat you have.
Right.
They thrive outdoors, or if you have a sun porch or something like that, you know, you can keep them. Well, anyway, we'll talk about Christmas trees later.
Yeah.
A little too early to talk about that. However, with winter coming on, are there any concerns that we need about winter-proofing our pet? For example, outside animals, do they need to be brought in? Do we need to put them in the garage? Or are they used to being outside even through cold weather?
Some dogs are. The soft, short-coated dogs, I would try to get them inside. The long-haired coated dogs, they prefer to be outside. Especially the dark coated ones, because they absorb the heat from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely the short coated beagles and small dogs that people tend to. I would recommend trying to get them in, and if they can't come in because of reasons that of the household and things. Probably what I'd recommend is going out and changing the bedding in the area of where the dog's at and try to insulate and try to get him comfortable outside.
You know, when I was a kid, back in the day, by the way, I apologize, Doctor, I'm battling a head cold here today, and I know I sound bad and I don't feel too good either, to be honest with you, but I apologize for that. When I was a kid, I grew up in a small town, small river town. We lived on the edge of the city. And a lot of folks in the neighborhood had dogs, but they were all outdoor dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Back in those days, when I was coming of age, there were very few people that had dogs that stayed indoors all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Their dog might come in once in a while, but they had a dog house out in the backyard. Usually the dog was on a chain attached to a long, you know, wire, so mm-hmm. they could move around a little bit. But they were outdoor dogs,
mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know. We didn't have one, but I don't know that they paid that much attention to winterize them. I guess they were just tough dogs back in those days.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that type of care, except the fact that you do have to check on them frequently and make sure that there's not any frostbite occurring. And that just tends to be more so in January, February area because the temperature drop and being cold outside. But if the dog is an outside dog and it's been outside, he's acclimating to the surrounding conditions each day. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't feel that uncomfortable to this weather change that we're having.
A lot of the dogs, when I was a kid in our neighborhood, were hunting dogs, so they would be more accustomed to being outdoors anyway. What about canine clothing? You see this every once in a while when people are out walking their dogs in the dead of winter. They'll have a, you know, one of those canine coats on to warm them up. Is that a good idea? Does that really work, or is that just
it
more?
It works in some dogs, but you know, the big guys and things, they pretty much are pretty resilient and things. But I think it's more for to pacify the owner to a certain degree, but the small dogs and things, covering them, if the owner likes to take them places and doing things, there's nothing wrong with that, and it does keep them warm.
Mm-hmm. And it does look nice, too.
Yes, yes. Like a very cute little dog, and if he's he or she is cuddled up in a cold little wrap and things, sometimes they look very cute.
What about arthritis? Because dogs can get arthritis just like humans
and
do.
And it affects them just like it does us.
Mm-hmm. Many folks, when the weather turns cold, they get
slower,
stiffer, slower.
Slower, and dogs do the same thing. And sometimes you do see them slowing down or walking up steps as opposed to running up steps that they used to do in the summertime. And that's just because their joints and things are arthritic, and they kind of hurt them a little bit. And sometimes you need to either use some joint supplements or even some pain supplements to help them during the winter months.
And sometimes it takes a little while to get loosened up in the morning. I had a neighbor several years ago. He was an elderly man, very healthy still. I think he was in his 80s, but he used to go for a morning constitutional every morning, you know, and he would start out very slow, and he told me once, it takes me a while to get going, you know, when it's cold. And you see that in your dog sometimes, too.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. And they suffer the same way we do. And so you do have to kind of watch and and if you're adept and things and you want them pain-free and things, you might want to be considering joint supplements and pain medicines during these cold months and not waiting until they get to a point where they're really slow and things. Sometimes we see a lot of Lymes during the fall season and winter, because the animal has kind of lived with it during the summer months and things, and yet the owners don't know he's positive. And Lymes doesn't have to affect the dog even when they're positive right away. But sometimes stress brought about by the fact that it's getting cold and they're getting slower, it becomes more prevalent.
So if you're concerned about this, if you see some of these symptoms in your dog, moving slower, having trouble as the weather turns cold, talk to your veterinarian. Now, there are treatments?
There definitely are treatments. We just have to sort of know what's going on. And sometimes Lymes does occur with other diseases that are going on. And so we have to kind of figure out, is Lymes part of what's going on, or did Lymes cause what your dog is showing? Those are kind of the dilemma that we kind of deal with and things. And sometimes we have to use some medicine and do some trials and see if they start to respond.
If you have a cat, check your engine before you start your car in the morning. Cats are known to, they want a warm place during the overnight, and they might wander into the garage and crawl up inside there to stay warm. And this happens more frequently than you might imagine.
Yes.
So be careful of that if your cat has access to the garage.
Yes. Yes. We see a few cases, not many now, but sometimes people come home at night and shut their engine off, and that's nice and warm. So the cats that are outside get up into the motor and things and kind of curl up in there because that's nice, snug, and warm. And then when you start your engine in the morning, they're heading out, and generally the only part of the car where there's an exit is under and right through the fan belly.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I just saw, coincidentally, a video on this last night on TV. It was one of those little features that they sometimes put on at the end of the network news. I think it was on CBS News last night, where firefighters were called. There was a kitten that was stuck inside the engine compartment of, mm-hmm. of a vehicle. And it was a fairly young kitten, and it couldn't get out. And firefighters had to rescue it. They put it on because, you know, usually firefighters are called to get a cat that's stuck up in a tree. And here was one that was actually stuck in the engine compartment. Mm-hmm. It was wedged down between the battery and something else.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't quite tell from the video. Speaking of the oncoming winter, a couple of other things that you want to check with your pets. Protect them from antifreeze.
Mm-hmm.
If you have antifreeze that leaks, maybe you've put some new stuff in your car or whatever. A lot of it is kind of green, if you've ever seen antifreeze, you know, in a driveway somewhere or something like that. It's green. It might be attractive to your dog or your cat, and they start licking it. Very, very poisonous.
Yeah, it only takes 2 to 3 licks if there's enough of it right there in a small little puddle, because what it causes is crystals to form in the kidneys, and it actually plugs up the kidney with those crystals. And if you don't get to giving it some particular medicine that will undo those crystals within a very short period of time, generally 12 hours.
Really?
Their kidneys are shot.
Wow. So watch out for that. And finally, not quite ready for this yet, but who knows? It may be before too much longer. There are times that we've had some snow by Halloween. Inspect the paws of your dog if they've been outside. If you take them outside for their morning or afternoon constitution or whatever, you can get salt or de-icing materials in their paws, and that can cause burns and discomfort.
Yeah. Crystals salt crystals and things will form. Dogs have hair that will mat up in and around the paws itself, and then those freeze, and it's right against, snug against the little pads of the feet, and sometimes they will get frostbite because of the hair and the water freezing in mm-hmm. that paw. So. Mm-hmm.
It's Ask the Veterinarian today. I've got lots of questions, but you may have some too, and you're welcome to join our conversation at 283-2525, 283-2525. That's our regular number here on the It's Your Turn program, 283-2525. Our veterinarian is local veterinarian, Dr. Dennis Damon. His practice is at Suburban Animal Clinic, and that is Route 8, just south of Butler. Well, about, what, 4 or 5 miles south of Butler?
4.
It's at the intersection of Route 8 South and Thorncrest Drive. If you're driving south from Butler, headed toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on the left-hand side, because that's where you'll find Suburban Animal Clinic. We'll take a break. Back with more on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR with Dr. Dennis Damon. We'll be right back.
Concordia Visiting Nurses has resources for patients who struggle with a serious illness. Visit cvnpalliativecare.org, an online educational website designed to help the seriously ill and their families to live as comfortably as possible while still receiving curative care. This free educational website offers practical tips and information. Choose Concordia Visiting Nurses.
Need to get out of town? Check into Butler Motor Tours. They can get you out of town in style and in comfort on their big luxury cruise buses. Have you checked out their website lately? So many exciting trips coming up. Check out butlerbus.com and find out where they're taking you next. They have trips all over the country. They'll even help you set sail to maybe the Caribbean. Casino trips, historic landmarks, all across the country. No driving, no handling luggage, entertainment, and most meals. All can be put together with no worries, all in an inclusive price. Call Butler Motor Tours today for more information. Or again, go to their website, butlerbus.com, and check out all of the exciting trips. They especially take care of you around the holidays. Seriously, no better way to travel than Butler Motor Tours.
Speaking of the holidays, they're booking a lot of their holiday trips right now, including they're going to be taking one of their big luxury coaches down to Ogle Bay Park for the Festival of Lights, which is a really, really neat thing every holiday. And this is kind of nice because a lot of folks don't, you know, they don't want to drive to West Virginia and then especially back afterwards in the dark. So they've got two trips down there. One is shortly before Thanksgiving, another is on December the 8th. You can check online at butlerbus.com for more information there. They have lots of other holiday trips, too, to the Smoky Mountains, to Nashville, to North Carolina, down to the Biltmore Estates, which they dress up for the holidays. That's like a huge castle. And lots of other trips, too, for the holidays. Now's the time to book. Check online at butlerbus.com. Butler Motor Tours on North Monroe Street in Butler. Local company. They've been around for more than 75 years. And you can get information on all of their trips with the dates, the cost, the itinerary, and everything online at butlerbus.com. butlerbus.com. Ask the veterinarian today. Dr. Dennis Damon is with us on the program. And we're talking about problems or concerns you might have with your pet, or pet nutrition problems, or pet behaviors that are correctable. For example, if you've got a new puppy or a dog that is constantly chewing shoes, this is actually pretty common, isn't it? Is that a correctable pet behavior, Doctor?
Yes, it is. If you take the time to teach them not to chew your shoes, and that they have to distinguish between their toys and your shoes, and you shouldn't, because it's an old shoe and it's retired now, you shouldn't give it to your dog. Mm-hmm. Because a shoe is a shoe, and so any shoes become available, he doesn't understand the difference between an old shoe that's been retired and you really don't care about, and a shoe that's new. So when you're trying to get them to chew and things, buy their products and let them chew on those things. Don't use things that are associated with you, because now you're encouraging them and they can't distinguish between an old and a new.
And a lot of folks, especially when we get into the bad weather, they'll kick off their shoes when they come in the back door, the front door, or maybe in the mudroom, if you've got one of those. And they're wide open for Fido.
You're right.
Yeah. I understand. I saw a wire story on this a couple of weeks ago. I clipped it out to discuss with you. And according to that, German Shepherds, Golden Retrievers, Labradors, Poodles, and Schnauzers are among the most common breeds to exhibit this trait.
Yes.
Of chewing on shoes. Now, all of those are very common household pets, especially Labs, Retrievers, Poodles, and Schnauzers. So
there's a good many of them.
Yeah, good many of them. So be careful. Don't leave your shoes lying around. And if you catch these bad habits early enough, you can correct them in your dog.
Yes, it's a matter of just making them understand and show them and correcting them by telling them, no, this is not a toy, this is mine, and show them the difference between their things and your things, and try to reinforce it with them consistently.
We'll take a phone call. If you have a question, feel free to join our conversation at 283-2525. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon.
Yeah, of all things, I had a dog that had a problem with chewing the rockers on my rocking chair.
Oh, my.
And it was wooden. So guess what I did? I put some Tabasco sauce on it. Guess what? It cured him.
Yep. Can happen. Although you do have to, and you probably did not do this, you just put the Tabasco sauce on the leg runners themselves.
Some, oh, just the leg runners. Yeah, that was it.
Right. But
not the whole chair. Just right there where he was chewing all the time.
Right. But what I'm saying is, if you know animals, they will chew and they will get into the rottenest type of material, and you wonder how they can eat that stuff.
Oh yeah, they eat their own caca.
Yeah. So theoretically, you got to teach a dog that what you're going to put on there is distasteful. So what you'd have to do sometimes is put it in their mouth and let them salivate and recognize that that is a distasteful thing, and then you use it on the item that you're wanting to differentiate and not have the animal chew.
Tabasco sauce. Good idea. Good tip there, listener. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, he never did acquire a taste for it, and I was glad.
Hey, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, bye-bye.
283-2525 is our number. Ask the veterinarian. Let's go to this line next. Hi, caller. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. I have a question. We have an older cat that's about 15, and we just acquired a little kitten that's about 2 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And she has worms, and we've been treating the worm with different things. Is it contagious for the older cat, and is it contagious to humans?
Good question.
I was just curious.
What kind of worms are you treating as far as what you see?
Are they the real long, skinny?
Skinny thing called roundworms, probably. Because
like,
there are other
worms. Like she throws up.
Right.
You know, we've seen it.
Then she probably, once they move into the stomach, then it bothers them. So then they upchuck material, which will contain the roundworms themselves. The worm in that state does not hurt anything. It's probably hurting your kitten more than it's hurting anything else. And your other cat could eat that roundworm and never get roundworms. Hmm. However, your kitten's stool, which would contain the eggs, is where the culprit is. And that is actually the area that could affect you and your other cat. So you want to be specifically sure that you're cleaning the kitten litter.
The litter box,
frequently, so that they, when they get in there, they do not paw at the litter, and they actually are pawing with some stool in there, and the stool accumulates, and then it accumulates on their paws and things, and then they will lick them get the eggs back again. So you want to frequently clean that litter up.
Okay, which we have been doing. We've been using Damascus Earth in their food. Is that what it's called, I believe?
Yeah, but it doesn't quite get all, because what diatomaceous earth does is it causes a dehydration of the worm itself. You put diatomaceous earth on anything that's liquid and things, it will suck that liquid up and it dehydrates. Okay. That's why diatomaceous earth, you sometimes will hear, will be very effective with fleas and things because it will actually dehydrate the flea itself and the eggs. And so it will actually kill, but it's not an effective agent because it doesn't get 100%.
Is there a medication or a drug that you can get from
your vet? You would have to use some sort of dewormer to try to deworm the kitten, and maybe sometimes worm a cat. You deworm it for say 1 to 3 days, and then next month you deworm it again. And sometimes it takes several dewormings over a period of 3 to 4 months before you get the cycle broke.
Okay.
Yep, good advice for you there, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot. So an older cat and then a new kitten. It's the kitten that has the worms.
Right.
Don't worry about that. It's kind of disgusting to talk about, but don't worry about the vomit. Even if there's worms in it, there's no problem with that.
Yeah, you just discard that. But
the stool is another problem. So
area of where your contamination occurs.
So keep the litter box fresh as you can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you first started talking about that, I wasn't quite sure how it, but then, of course, I realized cats will paw when they're in the litter box, and then they get that contamination in their paws, and then they lick their paws.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
283-2525 is our number. It is Ask the Veterinarian today. 283-2525. If you suspect a problem like this, worms or something in your cat. It can also be a problem in dogs, too. I want to talk about that in a second here, but we have another question, so I'm going to go right back to the phones. Our phone number is 283-2525. Hi, caller. You have another question for Dr. Damon. He's listening. Go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Dave.
Hi.
I have an 8-year-old schnauzer that licks her paws a lot and pants whenever she isn't cold.
Mm-hmm.
And we got CBD, but it didn't help her.
She's nervous, and that's why she's panting.
She has, like, anxiety, I think.
Yeah, there's something bothering her. So they tend to pant. Now, it could be something outside, or it could be a noise. It could be even... maybe you were sweeping the house today and you left the sweeper out, and the sweeper is, or a broom, or things that...
It's out of order.
Out of order.
Uh-huh.
And they're nervous about it.
Wow.
And they kind of, until things get back in its place, they sit there and pant, 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 pant. And that's one thing. I don't want to say all dogs that actually pant are nervous, but there are other things that can associate with panting, diseases, especially one particular disease called Cushing's disease, which is a disease that affects the adrenal glands can cause dogs to be what looks like to be nervous and panting a lot. But they also have other signs, too, like drinking and things like that. So you got to kind of go by signs and things, because it may mimic, it may not mimic. But I would say in your schnauzer's case, there's probably something that's he's nervous with. Not all CBD oil is effective.
Okay.
And I went to a meeting here recently, and there are companies out there, unfortunately, I got to tell you this, that will use products for putting them out there, and all they're in for it is money.
Okay.
And they have not studied this stuff. these companies and things effectively to know what the absorption rate of the product is for your dog. Okay. Now, there are companies that do, and they know the absorption rate, and that is very effective. But they're not going to say to you, you know, how they go about it. But I would venture to say most CBD products that are distributed by companies and things have not been studied thoroughly enough to know what the absorption rate are. Now, there are a few that have, and they've put out a good marketing tool, and generally you'll find them at the use through doctors, meaning not so much medical doctors, but also veterinarians are trending around to this stuff. But we still are underneath the legal obligation that since these things are not as studied as hard, that we can't really recommend that product to you until it's thoroughly investigated.
Okay.
You said your dog is 8 years old, I think. Is that what you said?
Yes, 8 years old.
Is this panting behavior relatively recent, or has your schnauzer done this for several years?
Probably the past year, summer and winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not so sure. Sometimes pre-diabetics will do a lot of panting.
Okay.
And schnauzers are one of the top breeds that diabetes occurs in.
Okay.
But when I say pre-diabetic, he's not fully diabetic. So
right.
He may have the preliminary stages, but yet not have full-blown stages.
Okay.
You might want to consider taking it to your veterinarian and at least getting a...
Okay, he goes every year, but he just happened to start this after he had been to the vet a couple weeks.
Well, when you
when
you get ready to take him, I would have the veterinarian just mention it to him.
Okay.
And at 8 years of age, it might be a nice idea to do a little bit of blood work just to check things and make sure things are ticking as good as what we think they are.
Okay.
Good advice there. Thanks, caller.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yes,
sure,
ma'am.
Sure. It's nice to have people so concerned about their pets, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. CDB contains the active ingredient in marijuana, right?
Right. But it's only less than 3%.
Mm-hmm. And there are oils and stuff. I got to tell you, I'm seeing these signs for this stuff everywhere these days.
And
CDB sold here. CDB. So you're saying be careful.
Absolutely be careful, because I've went to several meetings now, and what I'm learning is that some of this stuff's not absorbed. And they can't they won't tell you either. I mean, you can call the manufacturer and you can put them on the spot and things, and they'll hem haw and hen around, but they won't tell you what the absorption rate is in your pet.
And from what I understand, I'm no expert here, but obviously, just a couple of years ago, Pennsylvania legalized medicinal marijuana, but that's highly regulated. There are only a few select places where you can buy it, and you need a confirmation from your doctor that you take to the marijuana place.
Right.
This CBD stuff is different. You're seeing this all over the place.
Right, because of the fact that it's low-grade marijuana, you might want to say. It's less than the pharmaceutical grade, and so they can get away selling that, but... The issue is, what is the absorption rate? And there is a couple companies that I'm familiar with that do have good absorption, and has they've had some work with some of the animals and know the absorption rate, and it is very effective. So I tell people, be very cautious.
And this is an oil, so you would apply it topically?
Topically, and it can, they also have a liquid part that goes orally, too.
Ask the veterinarian. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525 if you'd like to join our conversation with questions or comments. 283-2525. Going postal, Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center, one of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today. They package your items for shipping. What could be more convenient? I've utilized their services. It's terrific. It's fast. It's efficient. It's very affordable. And your stuff goes out quickly any way you want, by the way. You want to ship it to UPS or U.S. Postal Service or FedEx, that's your choice. But they'll package your items for shipping. Going Postal Butler is located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, which is right behind the Kings and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road. You know where that is. Just follow the signs and you're there. Your friendly neighborhood shipping center, Going Postal Butler. They're open Monday through Friday. You can call for more information, 724-841-0044. By the way, they also have some other services that they offer in addition to packaging your items for shipping. They have copying service, scanning, faxing. You can even rent a temporary mailbox there. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. We'll be back with more Ask the Veterinarian here on It's Your Turn right after these words.
Auto accidents can be a terrifying experience. Injuries can occur at an impact of just 2 to 3 miles per hour. If you've had an accident, it's time to visit Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center. Doctors Lucas and Detweiler specialize in treating accident-related injuries from whiplash, soft tissue pain, and headaches to shoulder and arm pain, reduced range of motion, and disc damage. Let the professionals at Applewood Chiropractic provide you with the necessary benefits to aid you in your healing process. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive in Butler. Visit applewoodchiro.com.
The Battery Warehouse Plus family is proud to announce the opening of West End Tire and Service, formerly Seaman Tire Services. Keeping commerce alive in Butler is important, and at West End Tire and Service, they vow to keep the same great people and great service that Seaman's provided for years by offering a vast selection of tires, installation, and service. West End Tire and Service is looking forward to serving the community and expanding their service offerings in the near future. Stop by West End Tire and Service, 459 West Cunningham Street in Butler, or call 724-287-6973.
Welcome back. Ask the Veterinarian today. I don't know. I must be behind the eight ball sometimes. I was mentioning to Dr. Dennis Damon during the break, I didn't even realize that CBD oil was, you know, being used for pets. And Dr. Damon said you see it every day in your practice. Or people have questions about it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somehow I missed all that. I don't know. Well, I'm sure in some cases, you know, companies are capitalizing on all of the news about medicinal marijuana. And that's the thing. It can be effective, though.
Yep.
If you get the right stuff.
If you get the right stuff from the right company, very effective and has helped where medicines haven't. So I'm not totally against it, but mm-hmm. I would like to see people being using a little bit more sense and using the right stuff.
For certain conditions. It's not a
cure-all for everything, but it will help depending on the availability of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you need a prescription for that stuff? No.
Not that I know of. You can kind of readily get it anywhere.
Let's take another call. 283-2525 is our number to ask the veterinarian. 283-2525. Caller, go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon. He's listening, and you're on the air.
How are you today, Dave?
Just fine.
This is Rambo. I called last beginning of the summer.
Yes.
And, well, my dog was eating the cicadas.
Yeah, I remember your call.
He's got a new trick now. He eats walnuts.
Oh.
That doesn't sound
the,
good.
The hull or the walnut itself?
He'll eat the shell and he'll eat the whole thing.
Must have pretty good teeth. Those things are hard.
Yeah, they are. And I would say he's setting himself up for a bowel problem if he's swallowing them.
Well, that's what I was worried about, because as hard and sharp as the shell is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Because corn cobs are a problem because of the sweetness of the corn cob and things, but some dogs get a little piece of it, which is sometimes just a half inch to an inch long, and it gets stuck in the intestine tract, and I would venture to say a half of a walnut hull, the hull of it might get through the intestinal tract and be absorbed, but the shell itself possibly could cause some problems for that dog. And I don't know, other than trying to keep him away from walnut trees.
Well, my neighbor has a tree in her yard, and they end up in my yard.
Uh-huh.
That's what I figured. Yeah.
I would have to kind of...
I mean, I pick him up every morning, but somehow or another, I don't know, he must be part squirrel. It's a sheltie. I think he stashes them somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, but, watch out for any...
But there's no problem with his stool in that. I mean, there's no sign of any blood, and it's always...
Mm-hmm.
It's always
well, just
the same
be very,
as any other day.
You're doing what any owner really effectively can, and you know the potential risk of the threat of the walnuts and things, so you just go over and try to daily observe and take dispose of the ones that are in within his reach, but that doesn't necessarily say you're going to stand there 24 hours a day watching them fall and get every one of them, so you minimize the risk by
throwing
them, but I'm not so sure you can totally say you're totally taking away his exposure, but you're minimizing his exposure to those potential threats.
Good call, Rambo. Good call. thanks
okay,
for joining
boys,
us.
John, you have a beautiful day.
Good luck with your pet. Hope he survives.
He's surviving.
All right.
That's one tough dog eating walnuts. In fact, those things are so big and so hard. I turned my ankle one time.
Yeah, on them. Yeah.
This is kind of funny. On a golf course, there was a tree on the edge of a fairway, a walnut tree. And, you know, when they come down, they're all over the place. And I was just walking down, and I stepped on one of those wrong and turned my ankle.
Mm.
Can't imagine a dog eating them.
Yeah.
Wow. Speaking of which, are nuts dangerous for dogs? You know, we're coming into the holiday season before too much longer.
Not really. Most nuts. Not. They're able to digest them and things. There's no threat there with nuts. Per se, although they potentially could have an allergy just like human beings, mm-hmm. and be peanuts or something like that. But other than that, no threat.
Most of the nuts that are left out in a dish during the holiday season are just the nuts. They don't leave them out there in the shell.
The only way one particular one was is those nuts that look like toes, if they'd swallow one whole.
Huh.
But if they chew them and things, they'll go through the intestinal tract.
Those are those big Brazil nuts you're talking about. Yeah. Okay. So nuts shouldn't be any problem. Chocolate, though,
different
story.
Definitely, and especially now because Halloween coming up and things, and dogs can get into chocolate and they can eat the wrappers, and the wrappers can be a problem too. So you got to be very careful. With the Halloween candy and things. So,
is there something in chocolate that's poisonous to dogs?
It's the theobromide. They can't handle it. Now, they can eat it, but in low amounts. But if they exceed their theobromine toxicity level, it's definitely going to cause seizures and convulsions. It don't take much for a Chihuahua. It takes a lot for a Great Dane. Mm-hmm. But, and it depends on the concentration of the theobromide, because you take very, very dark chocolate, has high theobromide in it. Mm-hmm. And Nestle's chocolate has low amounts. The chocolate that you drink, hot cocoa, has very low amounts of theobromide in it. So it depends on the concentration.
Let's take another call. It's Ask the Veterinarian. Here's our phone number, 283-2525. Caller, this is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a 16-year-old border collie, and I was wondering if she always... she walks continuously in circles, and she seems to, like, when we do our walk, I have to stand on her right side because she wants to walk straight a little bit, and then she wants to turn to the right. And even going up to her food bowl, which is elevated, she'll get up there, and as soon as she goes to grab a piece of food, she wants to turn to the right, and sometimes, her back legs get all... twisted. Is that a sign of dementia?
Well, possibly, or it could be even a sign of a lesion on the left side of the brain. Dogs do ipsilateral what the brain sort of tells them, and if there's a lesion in the brain, that she's circling always to the left or always to the right. If it's left, it's right-sided. If it's right, it's left-sided.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's a possibility. And dementia, yes, that's in there. It's just hard to really say what until, you do something like an MRI and take a look and slice and see if there's any lesions within the brain that's causing her problem. You can eliminate tumors out of the picture. Then you gotta look at whether definitely there's some assessment as to dementia or not.
You said your dog was 16 years old. That's relatively old now for a dog. Is this behavior fairly recent, or has the dog been doing it for a while?
No, it's probably within the past 6 months. Maybe even less than that. And even, it's almost like she'll go to walk or stop to, of course she's getting hard of hearing and she's getting a little bit of the cataracts, but she'll just, stop in space, and then she'll continue. But, that's why I was wondering if it was dementia, because, you have to be careful because she kind of wants to wander a little bit. But she does good walking as long as I walk on her right side, and she constantly wants to turn, and I kind of, just take my thigh and kind of bump
nudge her
lightly,
yeah.
And then
mm-hmm.
she turns straight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sounds like something you certainly want to check with your veterinarian the next time you take your dog to a visit, I think.
Thank you.
Sure. Would you agree on that, Dr.
Yep.
Damon?
Yep.
Yeah. Get it checked out anyway. Am I correct on that? 16 years old?
That's
old for a dog, right?
Pretty much up there. I know this young lady by voice, and mm-hmm. I kind of think I know of the animal, and it could be dementia in her, part of the problem, but I don't think it's solely dementia. I think there's you have to evaluate other neurological signs in the dog to kind of get a generality as to whether it's CNS orientated or whether it has dementia rights to it.
Hmm. I didn't realize, I guess I just never thought about it, that pets could get that too late in life.
Yep. we see it quite frequently in dogs that have been good patients at our place, and they start coming in, and the owners start to kind of ask us questions about these things that it's not responding as well, hearing wise. It's she used to love to do a certain particular thing, and now she's not doing it. And why is that happening? Mm-hmm. Well, just like us, we get old, and our memory's short, and animals do the same thing, and just they're starting to deteriorate. Mm.
Is that old adage? We have for a break here. We'll get it in a second. Is that old adage about
7 years to 1 year?
Yeah. Dog years being 7 years. So.
Actually, it increases as they get older. So it starts out seven, mm-hmm. and things, but when they get up to into the 14 bracket, they're aging a little bit faster than the 1 to 7. They're probably up to around 10.
So if that dog is 16 years old, in human years, it would be over 100.
Right. Could possibly be.
Wow. Okay, we'll take a break. Phone number, if you want to join our conversation, is 283-2525 to ask the veterinarian. We will be back after these words. The Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located at 140 Newcastle Road. It's about halfway up Newcastle Hill, just down from the State Police Barracks. This is the Butler area's newest funeral home, Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, the first and only value-designed funeral home built specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles, types, and levels of service that others are not able or willing to offer. They can transfer all prearranged funeral services and policies as well. It's an entirely new idea. It's local. And there's a hometown gentleman running the operation, Spencer D. Geibel. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road in Butler. Not affiliated with any other funeral home.
Welcome your fall morning with the best fall breakfast at Michael's Restaurant. In the fall, mornings are chilly and you just don't want to get up. But head to Michael's Restaurant and savor their pumpkin pancakes, cornmeal mush, or their popular buckwheat pancakes. Breakfast lovers, it's worth getting out of bed for. I promise.
Ask the Veterinarian, 283-2525. Dr. Dennis Damon is here in the studio with us from Suburban Animal Clinic. I just saw a commercial on TV. It was within the past few days. It was for, I guess it was on Animal Planet I was watching, and it was about adopting dogs from shelters, okay? Mm-hmm. Shelter dogs, survivor dogs, I guess they called them. And they had pictures of several older dogs, and I was struck. Of course, you know, when they film these TV commercials, they try to make it as dramatic as they can. But just the look on the faces of these dogs.
I think I remember.
The older dogs. I mean,
yeah.
Some white whiskers, some gray hairs around the eyes, and just kind of a sad look. I said, my gosh. they look just like people when they get old.
Yep. Of course, they use those dogs for a reason, because your heart just kind of melts right
of course
into butter.
Yeah.
And you kind of feel sorry and things, and rightly so. I mean, that's what humans are. I mean, there's not all human beings, but there's a certain percentage of us that an animal can melt your heart just very quickly.
I hope that applies to most people, whether you have a pet or not, because it's important. Okay. Do veterinarians watch Animal Planet too?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Actually, we watch practically every animal moment on there. I even though I'm a veterinarian, I watch all the veterinarians mm-hmm. on there. It's really very interesting.
I can't say that I watch it on a regular basis, but I have. Some of those things are pretty dramatic. They got that one guy, that's, I think he's called Rocky Mountain Vet or something like that. Is that
mm-hmm.
him?
Mm-hmm.
And he is a He's quite the character. He just looks a little bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
But he does some miraculous surgeries dogs and cats.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to... There's good veterinarians out there, and you look at them and you wonder, gee, where'd that hippie come from? But there's excellent veterinarians, even if they don't look like veterinarians.
Well, that's kind of the Rocky Mountain vet. Mm-hmm. I think he would fall into that category, I'm sure. Speaking of older pets, there are some things that we have to be on the lookout for whenever your dog or your cat is reaching not necessarily the end stage of life, but getting older. There are diseases, just like in humans, that tend to present more in older life. I'm talking about things like diabetes, for example, right?
Yeah, and see, the animals don't tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't tell us. So get up this morning and I just don't feel good. Or this is going on in my body, or anything. And 9 times out of 10, and I'm sorry to say this, is 9 times out of 10, the owners, it goes beyond the owner, too.
Yeah.
And they could have diabetes and yet not be drinking or urinating frequently, but be a diabetic.
I was going to ask you that because, you know, you can't go for the full... You know, the full circuit of blood tests every time you take your dog to the vet. But there are some rather common signs that might indicate diabetes.
Right.
And
right.
Two of them would be drinking very frequently and urinating very frequently.
Sure. And sometimes eating an awful lot. You know, the dog didn't eat a lot, and now he's eating a lot. Loss of weight. Is another good area. Even though the dog's old, sometimes 6 to 8 pounds loss in weight over a period of 3 to 6 months is very important. So signs really can specifically say, but I also will say cats are very difficult. Dogs are a little bit easier, but cats are very difficult because of the fact that they have the adage of 9 lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they can borrow on the 21st life and look normal and be in trouble kidney-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And things. So
we have to squeeze in one more break here before we run out of time. We'll do that, and we'll be back to wrap up in a moment.
Central Electric Cooperative understands that as Halloween approaches, we may be looking for scary things lurking around the corner. In your home, you need to be on the lookout for energy vampires. Televisions, computers, cell phone chargers, and game consoles are all just a few of the culprits that could be sucking energy, even when they are turned off. While this can be frustrating, there are some steps you can take to stop energy vampires from sucking money out of your wallet. Unplug electronics you are not using. Use power strips and turn the strips off when items are not in use. Purchase smart power strips. These devices sense when computers or TVs are turned off and cut the power to related electronics. For more information on keeping your home energy efficient, please visit our website at www.central.coop. At Central Electric, safety is everyone's responsibility. My name is Bill Fessemeyer, and my personal safety goal is to never get complacent and always respect electric potential. What's yours? This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
I'm Dr. Scott Rainey, an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Gosh, our time is gone. We still had some other people wanting to talk to the good doctor, but we just plumb ran out of time today. Dr. Damon, folks just have questions, they're welcome to call your office, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And I'll try to, if they leave some information, I'll try to get back with them as soon as possible.
Suburban Animal Clinic is the practice of Dr. Dennis Damon. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South, at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. Well, we had a ton of questions today, and I hope we helped a lot of people and gave them a little bit of knowledge. It's good.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Hope you can join us tomorrow. We'll be here for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn, promptly at 12:30 tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Of a flea.